And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. But she said, Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I believe the Lord is actually saying to us, as children of God, don't come and eat the crumbs that fall down from my table. You are not my pets. You are not my dogs. You're my son. You're my daughter. No longer, those crumbs are not for you. You are to come up to my table. You are to eat at the table I have prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. You are to eat of the riches that I have for you at my table. For I have covered you in my blood. I have made you righteous in my sight. You are no longer to crawl around under my table, son. Daughter of God, come up to the table that I have prepared for you. And there I will bless you. There I will show you great and mighty things. And you will be the blessing to the nations that I have called you to be. No longer are you to eat the crumbs. They are not for you. You are to come to my table as a son and as a daughter.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We honor you today. Thank you that your strength reaches us. Thank you that our hope is alive. It's a living hope. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. We bless you today. We thank you that you're mighty in our midst. We honor you today, dear God, for the hope that we have, for the strength that we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. You're a good God to us. Thank you again for the hope of the cross of Calvary, where you were crucified on our behalf. You took our place, Lord God, that we might be saved, that we might know your righteousness. We thank you today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can I have those who are ministering the emblems to come and you'll take your seats. Hallelujah. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith, not because of what we do, not because we behave. We're justified because we trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says, through whom we also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. We stand in that grace and we rejoice in the hope that we have in the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Nobody likes to glory in tribulation, but the Bible tells us that our attitude to difficulties must be flooded with joy. Count it as joy when things don't seem to be happening the way we think. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And again, character brings hope. Hope of the glory of God, and hope that is born out of character going through the fires of trials. The Bible says God will be with us in trouble. That God will get into trouble with us. Hallelujah. And when God gets into trouble with us, everything's going to be all right. I think the lion's mouths will be closed and the fire's fierceness will be quenched when God gets into the fire with us. But the outworking of that is a character that is flooded with hope. Then he says this, hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not make us ashamed. Many times our hope brings us shame. We hope for something doesn't happen and hope defers, makes our heart sick. But this godly hope, the Bible says, will not disappoint us. And the reason is because the love of Christ has been shared abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That love was demonstrated in no other way than greater than the cross. And we come to the table of the Lord this morning and know again that the love of Jesus has been shared abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And because of that, our hope will never bring us to shame. Our hope is not restricted to what we know and what we see. Bible says if that's all the hope we have, we ought to be pitied and feel sorry for. Paul said if it's in this life only we have that hope, it's not good. But we have a hope that goes beyond this life. We have a hope of eternal life. We have a hope of being with Christ. Hallelujah. Because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I think when we get to heaven, it's not going to stop there. I think we're going to fall in love with Jesus over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. It'll take more than an eternity to express our grace, express our gratitude, express our love to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. We thank you, Father. We have a living hope. This hope does not make us ashamed. This hope is the hope of glory, Christ in us. And he that has that hope purifies himself. And we thank you for the hope that we have because the love of God has been shared abroad our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, many times we grovel to find blessing. When you've called us to this table, hallelujah, to sit at the table, to know the overflowing cup of the Lord, to eat of the bread of life. Even as Boaz said to Ruth, when it's time to eat, draw close and eat of the bread. Help us to draw close with faith and by faith and eat of the bread. Appropriate afresh into our lives the bread of life. Hallelujah. The one that gives us life. The true bread from heaven, the bread of the Father. We thank you today for the opportunity once again to come to your table. To sit at your table, a little olive around your table. Lord God Almighty, we thank you that the table is furnished. Your banner over us is love. Bless us today as we eat and drink afresh, as we remember afresh the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary where you died in our behalf. Thank you, Lord. As we remember that, Lord God, our hope is charged afresh because death did not hold you down. You rose again that we might be justified to charge our hope afresh in eternal life in the glory of the one that died and rose again on our behalf. We thank you today. Bless us as we eat and drink in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say, amen. Let's eat and drink together. After that, you can just pray, give God thanks. Also pray that it'll rain in Papua New Guinea where Sharon is. They need some water. Need prayer for surgical week that's beginning. I need prayer for two patients. The name of the guy is Sagaya and the girl's name is Gloria. So just lift those knees up in prayer as you eat and as you drink, giving God thanks. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. And pray for Julia, who's in hospital. Julia had her tonsils taken out, but she's got a bladder infection. I just pray for her. Lift her up today. Hallelujah. We pray for the need for rain. You said, Lord, to ask you for rain in the time of the latter rain. We pray it'll rain where it's needed. Where Sharon is in Papua New Guinea, where the water needs needed for surgery and for the patients in the hospital. We pray for those two patients, Lord God, that they will be touched by the hand of God. For Julia, Lord God, this morning, we pray for the surgical week beginning, Lord God. And we pray for the needs of our community, our family of faith, Lord God Almighty, that their lives will be touched. We honor you today. We bless you today. You're a good God to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the depths of your grace. Thank you for the hope that we have. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you try to make the grade, and it's a terrible place to be in. You're trying to make the grade, to get there, to earn the favor of God. You don't have to do that. Jesus Christ has done that for you. You just have to enter in. Hallelujah. If we have to earn the grade, none of us will make it. You don't have to be a beggar underneath the table. The table is not set for the dogs, it's set for you. The bread is the children's bread. Belongs to the kids. So just do that. Amen. If you pass your glass through the aisle, it'll be collected. We'll sing Hosanna. I forgot to have my communion. We got that? I'm talking on missions. Many times when we talk on missions, people think that missions is just something that is done by some hyperactive Christians in the church, but the rest of us can just carry on normally. But let's have a look at it and trust it'll be a challenge to you. But missions was born in the context of worship. And many times we love to worship. We just finished doing that. But many times we are never involved in missions, but we just love to worship. In the world today, there are worship albums and worship concerts all over the world. And Christian albums are sold as much as non-Christian albums, and it becomes a source of revenue for Christian artists as well as the church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem many times is we just love to worship but never understand missions. When missions is born out of the context of worship, you can't have worship without missions. If all you have is worship and no missions, there is something wrong with your understanding of the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you okay? I said to you I was going to challenge you. So our key scripture is in Joshua chapter 7, but I'm starting from somewhere else. So it's up to you. Well, you've got Joshua chapter 7. You can stay there if you want to. But let me read this to you, and it'll help you. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spoke to them. They saw him, they worshipped him, and in the context of that worship, Jesus came along and he said this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you." I am with you. I am with you. Why? Because now missions is born. "Lo, I am with you even to the ends of the earth." But it was born out of worship. And many times we will cross the Tasman to go to a worship conference. We will have people come and teach us how to worship, how to write songs, how to play instruments, how to do things that dovetail into the worship of God. But we never do missions. Don't talk to me about missions. Hello? But if you have just worship, you've got a very, very unbalanced church that hasn't got the heart of God. Hallelujah. Say amen. Now the Bible says God looks for worshipers, those who worship him in spirit and truth. So God looks for those that worship. But true worshipers actually do missions. That's the context of that. When Jesus came to Samaria, and a woman was coming to the well, and they were talking about worship. And the woman said, "Our fathers worship in this mountain." Jesus said, "You don't know what you're doing." They worshipped. But how come they did not know what they were doing? Hello? He said, it's not the mountain, it's not Jerusalem. It's when you worship God in spirit and truth. When the woman understood, she left her water pot and went to the very town that rejects her because of her lifestyle. How do I know that? Because the women in the East never draw water in the afternoon. They draw water in the morning. They draw water in the evening when the sun, when the fierceness of the sun is subsided. But when they draw water in the afternoon, nobody draws water in the afternoon. It's too hot. And when she came to the well, she came on her own. No other woman. Why? Because if she comes with the other women, she's ridiculed because of her lifestyle. But when she understood worship, she left her water pot at the well and went to the very town. Now missions is born. And when she went to the town, got everybody in the town and said, "Come and see a man." Out of worship comes evangelism and missions. And when they came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Look on the field. They're white with harvest." And Jesus stayed 2 days. He wasn't going to stay 2 days. He was going through Samaria, but stayed 2 days having ministered in worship. And the woman out of worship became a missionary. Hello? Are you okay? And when they came to Jesus on that mountain, having understood that he's now resurrected, and they came in when they worshipped him, Jesus said, power is given to me. Go. Because out of worship comes missions. Why is the power given? It's not given to the stayers. That's the problem with the church. We want power, but we don't want to go. Hallelujah. And we love to worship. We love the presence of God. We cry in the presence of God. Lord, speak to me. And when God speaks to you, you have no intention of carrying it through. But Lord, speak to me. This day, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. How do you hear that? In the context of worship, you hear that. And don't harden your heart when you hear that. Hallelujah. Are you okay? We'll come back to Joshua 7, but we'll go before that, we'll go to Acts 13. Have a look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 is a church in Antioch. Now, there was a church in Jerusalem, and that church had to be dispersed. God had to turn up, persecute the church, so that the people will leave the church. Not necessarily leave to backslide, but leave to do missions. Are you okay? And the church in Antioch was a peculiar church because it was a missions church. And if you trace your spiritual DNA, every single one of us go back to that church. If that church never did what they did, you would never, ever, ever be saved. Never. You owe a gratitude to that church because it was from that church that the gospel came to you and I. If that church never did what they did, you would never be saved. You will be in hell forever and ever without hope. But what did they do? Let's read. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, Antioch was on the Orontes River. And when you have cities that are port cities, you have a lot of stuff. You have good trade, but you also have prostitutes. And so it was not just it was a church that was contending with many, many issues. But this is the essence of what they did. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted. Some of your Bibles will say, as they ministered. How did they minister to the Lord? How do you minister to the Lord? You worship. How do you minister to God? You worship. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they send them away. What was that? That was the first missionary journey by the church. As they worship the Lord and fasted, they send out missionaries. As we worship the Lord and fasted, we don't do anything. But we love to worship. Oh, I'm going to worship. Like the priest who was going to worship, and there was a Samaritan man at the side of the road. He was too busy. Why? Because he's going to worship. He had no time to touch somebody else. Why? I'm going to worship. Then a Levite come along. First of all, it was a Pentecostal minister come along, but he's going to worship. Then a Baptist minister came along, but he's going to worship. Then a good Samaritan came along. And he could identify with the need of the man at the side of the road. Many times we love our worship, we love our church. As we said some time ago, we love the fellowship. We forget that there are other people not yet in the ship. Hallelujah. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted, this missionary team was sent by the church. Sent by who? By the church. Now verse 4. This is interesting. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the church sent forth missionaries. And while God is the one that chooses them to go, the whole church is involved. Many times, as we said, we think that missions is something that only the hyperactive Christians do. No, the missions is something that is done by the whole church. Those that go and those that sent and those that equip. You equip missionaries, you send missionaries. Not everybody is going to go, but everybody's involved. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. Now, one day Isaiah went to worship. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. And in being in the temple, now, I don't think Isaiah went to the temple to pick his nose. He went to the temple for a particular purpose. And while he was at the temple, hallelujah, the Lord appeared to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. Hallelujah. And one cried to another, verse 3, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone.'" He went to worship. God turned up. The seraphims cried, "Holy, holy, holy." What were they doing? The seraphims were worshiping. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. And then God said, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" You never have worship without the outworking of worship being missions. Never. Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. How long until everybody's heard? How many are going to be saved? Well, nobody, but you're going. See, missions is born in the context of worship. Unfortunately, in the Western church, we are so selfish with our finances and our prayers and our money that we think Mission Sundays come so we can tip God. I want you to know something. Who knows? Paul is a very powerful man. In fact, most of the New Testament is about what he wrote. If you're a Pentecostal, you know, you read his writings about the gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts, the revelationary gifts, the spoken gifts, and you want to move in that supernatural power. That man was so powerful when he cast out demons, he doesn't tell the demon to go. He gives the demon a handkerchief. That's how powerful he was. That man was so powerful, they kill him every other day, and he gets up and walks away. That man was so powerful, snakes can't even poison him. You know how powerful he was? He was powerful. Jesus was powerful, hallelujah, and Jesus was a missionary. Paul was powerful, and Paul was a missionary. He actually preached from missionary books every day. The problem is, well, we want the power of God. We want a prophet. Well, bless your darling hearts, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. If you want power, you need missionaries. If you want power, you don't just have worship. There must be an outworking of power. Every true worship must be outworked in missions. And every mission must be born out of the context of worship. Many people will flock to Hillsong just to listen to the songs and to join into the concert of worship. Hillsong albums are sold everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. You go to South America in places that don't know English, and there'll be Hillsong music. You'll hear you're all over the world. And yet people don't go. Are you okay? Many young people say, oh, I love to be this. And they, oh, let me lead this. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But you must, as excited as you are about worship, you should be excited, as much excited about missions. If there's a missionary trip, I want every young person who's possible to go, to get up and go. Earn some money. Starve your cell phone. Get on the plane and go. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Pastor Martin found his future wife in a missionary trip. It's great. Hallelujah. Are you okay? But out of worship comes missions. And the heart of God is missions. Let me read this to you. We live in the me generation, where secular humanists, even in the pulpit, have fanned the flames of narcissism, hedonism, and self-gratification. The West has never had so much stuff and been so unhappy. Millions are looking within for happiness, but the only problem is that does not work. You were not self-created. You can't tell yourself the purpose for which you were created. There is great truth in the words. Look around and be distressed. There's no hope around that. And look within and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. Hallelujah. We need to understand that if we're going to be worshipers, we also have to be missionaries. Whether it's going across the seas or going across the street. We've learned to make a living, but don't live. You don't need another shirt, some of you. You don't need another pair of trousers. You can give your money to missions. There was only one time, as we shared before, when Jesus was actually angry in the sense that he began to strike people. And it has to do with missions. He said, get out of here. Don't make the house of my Father a den of thieves. Many, many Christians are thieving in that den. Because the court of the Gentiles is built with your money. And many of us are using the same money on ourselves. God has given you money for missions. It's in your wallet. And yet we use that on ourselves. Like we say many times when we come to church and we give $50 in the offering, we think, wow, that's a great offering. I've just given $50. But if you go to McDonald's with two of your friends, $50 is not enough. You use $50 in 3 days on texts. So who is Lord? Your cell phone, McDonald's, or Christ? For many years, now this is not putting anybody down or putting anybody up. For many years we do have missions offering once a month. But for about 5 or 6 years, the highest offering we would get on Mission Sunday would be about $500. Three quarters of that offering was from Fear and I. But we love to worship. You say, how do we do it for missions? Well, for your information, every offering we take up every Sunday, more than 10% of that is designated for missions. If we never did that, we wouldn't even be able to support one missionary with our missionary offering. And yet, none of us will starve. And some horror stories of what happens in the mission field. One particular missionary family received a parcel from overseas. It was actually a Kiwi missionary. And the parcel came from New Zealand. You know what it was? Used tea bags. Now that horrifies you, but that actually happened. What we can't use here, we've already used. We put together, we wrap it up and send to the mission field when we already use the tea bags. How do you expect a missionary to live when the church is so selfish? It doesn't even get involved. And then they say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Forget it. How can you say you love me, can't see, when you don't even love your brother whom you see? Are you okay? Can I change the message? And is it, hello? Had a missionary man return from the mission field, went there with his wife, lost his wife in the mission field, his children, came back on his own, broken. Arrived and went to the first prayer meeting in the week. Went to the prayer meeting, and know what they were praying? Said, Lord, you know that we really need that other car, because when it rains and we really need that extra car, we... Others were praying, we really need that extra TV. And he sat there and cried. And in the midst of the thing, he got up and said, forget it! I went to the mission field, you sent me out. And I lost my wife, came back broken. No wonder I lost my wife. You're praying for another TV when you got one. You're praying for another car when you got two. You're praying for something else when you got this and that. And forget me and my wife on the mission field. You want to follow me? Jesus said, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and then you follow. Self-denial is not something that we like to preach in the church today. We preach self-help techniques. But self-denial, no, just talk to me about self-help. Don't tell me about self-denial. I like myself too much. Hello? Are you okay? You're not. Are you okay? I was preaching in Sunshine. I think that's the name of the suburb in Melbourne. And we're just talking about money. And we were having, we finished and... We were having something to eat, and they asked a Tongan pastor to get up and pray. And he got up to pray. But before he prayed, he berated the conference. He said, I noticed that Pastor Ili every now and again would say, are you all right? And we say, we are. And then he cries, we are not! We are not all right because what he said we're not doing. Hello? And then he blessed the food after that. Not very many people ate after that, but I did. Missions. Have you found Joshua chapter 7? And let's go there because that's our text. I did all that to get to Joshua chapter 7. Now I can start the message for today. This is the message for today. All right? But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Sarah, of the tribe of Judah. That's the tribe of worship and praise. I'll say that again. That's the tribe of worship and praise. All right? That tribe committed a trespass. And it has to do with an offering. Hallelujah. You say, what has that got to do with missions? A lot. All right. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Remember, Jesus was angry in the New Testament, and he was angry to do with missions. Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to them, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. Do not weary everybody. Just a few people can give the offering. Not everybody should go up. Are you all right? Now, if we have a missions offering on the Sunday of the missions, if every family gives $10, it'll be a huge offering. But many times, forget it. It's the others that are normally missionary-minded can do it, but the rest of us are not. If every family gives $50 for the missions offering, it'll be a great offering. But everyone has to be involved. And here, the advice was, don't let everybody go up. Just let a few do it. Have a look at, you understand when they go up to Ai, they lost. Why? Because not everybody was involved. Now, let me ask you a question. You know they just finished the battle with Jericho. Jericho was a huge, massive, massive, massive challenge. And compared to Ai, Ai is nothing. But how did they win over Jericho? They did it together. They did it together. When they went against Ai and they didn't do it together, they lost. Why? Because a trespass was in the camp. Things were withheld from giving over to the Lord. Now, go to Joshua chapter 8. I'll make a few comments. Then you can go and have lunch. And think about the missionaries while you're having lunch. Verse 1, now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people. How many? All. Man said, don't send them all. God, it's a mindset, our mindset, and God, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high are my thoughts above yours and my ways above yours. If we can just contribute and do it together, we will fulfill what God said in the beginning. Come, let us make man in our image. When they said, in Nehemiah, they said, come, let us build come, let us build. They built the walls in 52 days when no one ever gave them an ounce of success. Why? Because they did it together. And when we do it together, hallelujah, we will fulfill the heart of God. We will be far more effective as a church. Because missions is not just something we talk about. It's a pillar of our church. It's one of those truths that we hold dear. There is a cry for missions from heaven. As we said when we spoke on missions, God has only one son. And he sent him as a missionary. He died on the mission field. You don't need another cell phone or another laptop or another iPhone or another iPad. But there are people dying because the church, while it's worshiping, it's not doing missions. The cry from heaven is, who will go for us? Isaiah was available. Isaiah made himself accessible. Isaiah made himself adjustable. He had to adjust his timetable to fulfill the cry of God. Who will go? Here am I. Send me. There's a cry from hell for missions. The rich man said to Father Abraham, Father Abraham, can you send Lazarus to my home? I've got five brothers. Tell them not to come here. Abraham said, they've got Moses and the prophets. They've got Faith City Church up there. That's their job. It's a cry from hell. Don't come here. It's not good. It's shocking. Terrible. Abraham said, Faith City Church is up there. Hello? You've got the Lewises up there. You've got the Coopers up there. You've got the Mealings up there. You've got the Aceras up there. You've got the McGregors up there. You've got the Solomonas up there. They'll do the job. And there's a cry from within. If you really sit down and be still. Paul said, woe is me if I don't tell somebody else about Jesus. I have a debt, and it feels like I haven't paid my debt. If I don't do it, woe is me. If I don't preach the gospel, there's a cry from without, come over to Macedonia and help us. We can do it. We can do it together. No AI, no Jericho, no nothing can stand against the church of the living God when the church in worship at the same time do missions as an outwork of our act of worship. Outworking of our worship is missions from heaven, from hell, from within, from without. There's a cry for missions. It's the cry of the heart of God. Are you all right? One person was honest. He said, no, I'm not. Many years ago, the Missionary Society, London Missionary Society, sent missionaries to Samoa. They didn't understand Samoa, but they came to Samoa, and Samoa is now a Christian nation. There's no Samoan who does not know that God is God. But one of the most amazing things is just recently, I think about 5, 6 years ago or 7 years ago, they commemorate the coming of the gospel, and they got one of those missionaries to come back, this Pommy man, whose name was Bradshaw. Now the Samoans call him Palatiso. How the Samoans got Palatiso from Bradshaw, I don't know. But when he came and conducted the service, the commemoration, every word he uttered was in Samoan. Perfect, perfect Samoan. Many times we want to go, but we can't identify with the people that we go and touch. Pastor Andrew and I were just talking during the break when we did one of the first training symposiums for the ministers of the Assemblies of God churches in New Zealand. And we did it in Lower Hutt, something like 300 or more pastors in training, probationary ministers, and even ordained ministers. They were all there. And I was speaking on cross-cultural communication. And when I got up, I said, how many of you have ever been or set foot on a marae? About 7 put up their hands. I said, which country were you born in? What's wrong with you? Are you stupid, arrogant, or ignorant, or both? How come you live in New Zealand, you're born in New Zealand, and you never visit the marae? What's wrong with you? You always want the Maori to come visit this way, but we don't want to go visit the other way. Fiona and I were in Fiji some years ago and ministering at a missions conference. And there was a missionary Fijian young lady who lived in Burkina Faso. She was a missionary there. And while she was there, she was doing some studies and she got up and spoke, just gave her testimony and just an update where she was. And she said, I was horrified. When studying in the library in Burkina Faso and looking at studying Christian missiologists, and that I discovered that the Fijian Indian is an unreached people. They're just outside her door. And here she is on the other side of the planet trying to win the lost when there are unreached people just outside her door. Sometimes the people that you ought to reach, you don't have to cross the ocean to. You just have to cross the street. If you're going to worship God, tell somebody about Jesus. It's a cry of God's heart from heaven, from hell, from within, and from without. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We bless you and give you glory and thank you, Lord, that we are recipients of the greatest love that we will ever know or maybe never know. We pray and I pray, dear God, that as a church, we will be a church that rises, Lord God Almighty, to do your will, to fulfill your purpose. Father, I pray for your people today that the selfishness will be dispelled. There will be a compassion in our hearts for the rewards of your suffering, for the world that you died for, that they will come to know you. Fill our hearts with compassion. Sometimes we've been saved so long, we don't know how hopeless it is to be without you. Touch our lives, Lord God, and let what breaks your heart break our heart. And help us to be a church who knows how to worship, but also knows how to reach out. That in the context of our love for you and our worship for you, the lost can be reached. Even as that hope that we have now reached to us through somebody else. I pray, dear God, that you'll minister to us and bless your people. If you're here today, I'm going to close. I'm going to finish the prayer in a minute. But if you're here today, and you've never made Christ the Lord of your life. You've never understood the love of God that sent His Son to the cross that you and I might live. You've never known what it is to live outside of yourself, not to live just for you. You didn't create yourself. You were not self-created. And it'll be difficult for you to understand your own purpose. God created you and loved you for His purpose. You're here today, you've never made Christ the Lord of your life. It's the greatest decision of your life, to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you used to know God, but you don't walk with God anymore. Before I finish the prayer, I'd love to pray for you. And God will touch your life that you'll come to know Him. If you're here today, you want to do that, you can just lift your hand so I can see your hand and put it down again. God bless you back there. Put it down. Anybody else? Just in these last few moments, you've lived your life on your own, and maybe you've known the love of God, but you've walked away from the hot breath of God. And you need to come back to the Lord and live a life that is guilt-free. To anybody else, put your hand up and put it down again so I just acknowledge your hand. Hallelujah. God bless you back there. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. A couple of people put their hands up, and we're just going to pray for them and pray with them. But before that, I'd like us to just pray with them right now. And after that, I'll ask them to come so I can just grab their hand, congratulate them. I want you to pray this prayer. And it's a prayer that many of you have prayed, and if not all of you that are here. But it'll help them. So pray it out loud. Pray it for yourself afresh and on their behalf. You bow your heads. Let's just pray. Dear Jesus, I come to you today. I know in my heart that you are the answer. I need your peace. I need your life. I need to live without guilt. Today, Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to you. I invite you to come and be Lord of my life. I invite you as Savior of my soul. Live in my heart. Forgive me of my sin. And help me to live in victory. To glorify your name. Thank you, dear Lord. I now belong to you. And I thank you that I am saved. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. If you put up your hand, can you just come? Just make your way up here. I'd just love to shake your hand. And hallelujah. Glory to God. Give them a hand as they come. I have started, so a prayer meeting on